Good afternoon. We'll bring Urban Forestry Board meeting here up Monday, February 12th, 3 o'clock.
Chair Burke?
Here.
Board Member Kohler?
Here.
Board Member Pellerin?
Here.
Board Member McChristian?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Total of one. Number two, new board member introductions. I will start that off with giving you a little bit of background about myself. Been in Sisters here since 94. Moved up here when I was 9 and went to the school district and when I ended up going over to college over in College of Idaho. Speak into the mic.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Went over to the College of Idaho was over there for about 10 years. And then my wife and I, who also grew up here in Sisters, moved back here in 2012 and been here ever since. Also affiliated with the fire department as an engineer paramedic with him and run a little fence business and just excited to be part of the community and what the next steps of keeping Sisters Sisters. So.
What's your name?
Pat Burke.
Thank you.
I've been on the board for, I think, 6 or 7 years. And just within last year, I was the board chair. So, yeah. Want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Avery McChristian. I'm excited to be here, part of the group, and participate in maintaining and preserving such a great urban forest. I originally grew up in Texas and worked with the Park Service and Forest Service all around and landed here at Crater Lake a while ago. And then I started doing tree work. So anyway, we don't have to go too far into that. But I work with the city of Redmond now as a city arborist there. And I just live right out of town, though, because my girlfriend works at the Three Creeks Brewery, too. So kind of worked out good. So I'm glad to be here. If you have any questions, just let me know.
Thanks. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Should I take a minute?
Sure. I'm Cheryl Pellerin, just appointed to my first board here. So I'm very excited to join this group. And I'm from California, grew up and raised there, moved up here at the height of the pandemic. So it was a very quiet place when we got here. Everything was pretty much shut down. But we just loved Central Oregon and we're so happy to be living here in Sisters. I look forward to being part of keeping this a great place to live.
Welcome aboard. Thanks.
And I'm Therese Kohler, and I too am from California near Monterey most recently and came up in the middle of the pandemic. So we've lived in Sisters since 2021, originally landed in Bend and Redmond. I actually have a degree in plant science, although I never used it professionally. I am very interested in trees and love them. And I have other volunteer interests in Sisters, including Sisters Trail Alliance, which you've probably heard of, and SCLI, which is a group that we focus on helping the unhoused by going out every week and picking up their trash in the forest. And also we deliver water in the summer. I'm happy that we have two new folks on board and I hope you participate and make the most of your time here. This is the end of my first year here. I picked up a partial term from somebody else. Thanks.
What does SCLI stand for?
Sisters Community Leadership Initiative.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And here we have Paul Bertagna here with the city. Keeps us in line during our meetings. And
welcome. This is a great board. It's they do a lot of good work. And typically... We need Work done every month, so plan on monthly meetings. And the time slot has been solid for years. I just want to make sure that that still works for you guys. 3 o'clock on the second Monday of the month. Great. So welcome.
And then Dan here is our city arborist.
Yes, I'm the contracted city arborist or forester. And my duties are to inspect the trees and keep tabs on what's going on as far as tree health and also dangerous trees and other issues. And today we'll talk about some trees that have failed or need to come down. And this is typically what we cover, you know, some kind of tree issue, and then it's we'll discuss on how to mitigate it.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
I'm Susan Cobb. I'm a city councilor, and I'm sitting in for Gary Ross, who would normally come to these meetings.
Thanks for coming.
No, it's my pleasure.
Perfect. Well, everybody, welcome to the board. Touched on when the meeting starts, second Monday of the month at 3. And then we do pretty much just go right down the agenda and follow line items. And then I guess here for the first one, when we get down to board business, talking about trees, we'll talk about kind of how we've traditionally gone about doing that. We'll move on to number 4, the approval of minutes.
Excuse me, Chair Burke, there's a third item.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. So introduction, moving on to number 3, determination of vice chair.
I just wanted to understand the duties of the vice chair. I from what I was reading, it's to replace the chair if you're not
here. Yeah, it's just to run the meetings when I'm not here.
Just running the meetings. Okay.
The only times that I have conflict is when I'm on duty. I'm not allowed to come over here when I'm on duty. So those are the ones that I miss. Other than that, I try to call in and go from there. There's really not, that's really the job titles. It's just to run the meeting when I'm not present. There's no real other assignments or responsibilities.
Okay.
There's no like voting power or anything like that. Everyone is the same.
So how do we proceed with that?
Somebody makes a nomination for a vice chair.
I nominate Teresa to be vice chair.
And someone will have to second it if they agree.
Can I second even though
You're not a voting member.
Okay, never mind.
No, sorry.
I second that nomination.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
You have the most experience out of us.
Easy as that.
Okay. All right, now on to approval of the minutes from the December 11th meeting. Does anybody have any objections or changes?
I move we approve the minutes as written.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Going down to visitor communication. I don't believe we have anybody online.
We do not have any visitor communication.
Okay, no visitor communications. And on to board business. So consideration of recommendation to remove storm damage ponderosa pine at East Portal.
Okay. I will start with these tree staff reports. And the items A and B are both from the Portal Park. You may have noticed it's easy to see the failure of a tree along the path and also along the highway. It was a fork tree. And usually when we talk about forks, I usually describe them as either a sharp fork or a U-shaped fork. The U-shaped forks seem to be more solid, and the sharp forks have a bark inclusion and also are prone to split. So this is a combination of a condition that's been going on a long time. The tree maintained this fork for decades. However, there's a weak spot. You can see with the rot in the picture and also the weight of the fork. And with the storm and the ice and the snow load, it failed and fell on, or I don't know exactly where it was fell, but it was, the path is now cleared and the highway is cleared. When I visited, the debris was present. So this is a very catastrophic fork. And I was very disturbed about the amount of rot. Usually, like I was just describing, you'll see this at a sharp fork where the bark inclusion and debris catches into the fork. But this one also had seemed to accumulate debris and also a deep rot. This leads me to my conclusion. I'd like to see this tree 100% removed. The remaining portion is very top heavy, and this point of weakness still remains weak with the rot still present. There's no way to get rid of it, and the recommendation is to remove it entirely.
And that fork, the remaining fork, it's also come down.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, okay, we cleaned everything up, hauled it away. So there's about a 30-foot trunk that still needs to come down.
Okay, and the chunk should come down. This is not an attractive feature at all. Yeah, and it's just not an attractive feature. It's not worth anything. It's not a wildlife tree. 100% removal is recommended.
For clarification, a wildlife tree, can you just describe that?
Well, it doesn't happen very often. Sometimes, you know, a lot of trees die or get damaged. And instead of entirely removing it, we'll have a dead bole sitting. And there's a good example in the RV park by Creekside Park. And what we have to be careful of is not to have dead limbs and debris. You could still have a bole and maybe some stubbed limbs. And wildlife will use this. But then that creates a new ongoing thing. It's not a problem, but we have to observe, you know, if that tree continues to crumble and fall and cast debris. But, you know, once you create this, it could last 15 years and potentially and have something there visually aesthetic and useful for wildlife. And the trick is to only have it in low public use areas and just have it relatively safe and monitored.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So may I?
Yes.
So this non-wildlife tree is non-wildlife because it's in a trafficked area?
Yes, it's just in a tight area.
Okay.
And, it's just not a good spot. If it was set back, and I'm going to cover this issue again with the next two trees.
Okay.
There's a similar situation. They're gigantic trees. But let's concentrate on this particular tree. For the reasons I just explained, the tree we're talking about now doesn't fit the safety criteria that I think it should.
And when you said deep rot, you mean that went down into the
yes.
that 30
yeah and it's hard to tell how far it spiked down.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't have much energy on this one. I think we should take it down. Don't want to be seeing that when you're driving into town. So does anybody have any thoughts or anyone to say anything else about this tree?
The only thing I was wondering is, would we replace that tree with another planting? It's kind of right along that nice strip. Cool to have a tree there eventually, but.
Well, yeah, usually we planting is discussed, but I guess the Portal Park has some specific design and plans.
Oh, okay.
And I think we're going to wait and see what they may be. But for now, for safety and aesthetics, this particular tree should go away. Yes.
So I'd like to make a motion for that, or if there's any other questions.
I move to have the storm-damaged ponderosa pine in East Portal Park removed in its entirety.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
Mr. Chair, the motion passes.
Yeah, I'll jump right into the next two trees, also in the Portal Park. This is down in the very southwest portion of the park. Two dead trees are very large. They're obviously dead. There's no remedy. Again, my recommendation is to remove. And then once again, you know, for reasons of the wildlife tree, I feel this doesn't fit the criteria. I believe the park will have some design and planning, and to have people work and do construction and to settle on a final plan with public use, these dead trees will be in the way. If it was obviously, you know, set back away from public use, we could perform the wildlife tree option, but I don't believe it'll work. So these particular trees are suggested to be removed. And if you notice, this other tree is a double stem. So when I'm referring to two trees, it's also that double stem tree.
Any idea or thoughts on why it died?
No, probably insects.
Question. When the trees are taken down, what's done with the wood?
That depends. There's a debris and bowls are usually hauled out towards the shop.
Firewood for our campground.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Well, it seems we need to remove these trees. So I make a motion that the two dead Ponderosas that are near the southwest portion of East Portal be removed.
My second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Chair, the motion passes.
It's been a while since we've lost a tree in that East Portal section. We've got three.
Yeah.
Moving on to other business. This is just for the board member information. We don't need to vote on this one. Looks like there is a handful of trees that Dan will explain to us.
So, yeah, there's a combination of emergency removals, and some of these have already been done. And also ongoing and also noticeable in this recent storm is some ailing trees. Some are fine or some are not fine, but I think my recommendation is to still observe these trees. But let's go down the list and cover every item. I believe the item A, the cottonwood, has already been removed. A portion of this tree split during the storm damage, and the remaining portion is what I took a photograph here with deep rot at the bole affecting the root structure, and it has severe lean. So I think that's already gone, because that was a dangerous situation. And 385 East Jefferson Avenue, there's a like a bed and breakfast Airbnb building there. And this particular neighborhood, especially across the street and on Long Locust, this neighborhood block had problems over the last 8 or 9 years with insects and also very large trees. This particular tree leans out and is forked. And my recommendation now is to observe it. And we have to keep in mind, you know, again, I'll explain this forking situation. This particular fork is what I call that U fork. It doesn't have the debris or sharp splitting that a true fork would have. and no bark inclusion. So this fork, I mean, this particular tree can grow in this U-shaped fashion for years and years. However, it has a lean and has the fork. Maybe over decades, it could possibly fail. But for the time being, I think this tree is fine. And in that same neighborhood, I observed closer to the Airbnb, a tree that's declining. And also for your new members, there's this term I use. It's not a scientific term, but it's a layman's term, but it makes perfect sense. It's called lion's tail. If you picture the foliage of a ponderosa pine, you have the tip, and then you have supporting foliage of pine needles. It looks like a scrub brush. But with what I call lion's tail, it's just the tip. And these secondary needles are sloughing off, and that's a sign of the tree declining and just maintaining the tip. So if you observe the tree with just that tip, that's kind of a telltale sign there's something wrong. But that doesn't necessarily mean the tree will immediately die or have a issue, but it is an indicator and something to be aware of. So there are a couple trees that are forked and or declining in this neighborhood. And we've eliminated trees over the past 6, 7, 8, 9 years in this particular area. So it's something to observe. And I have an idea, and I want to talk with Paul and Jackson about it. Several years ago, I had access to a bucket truck to observe forks and other issues with trees. Now I personally have a drone. And what I like to do is just, it doesn't take much time, just go up, take a peek, and take a solid picture and make some observations and take land the drone. But with that, there's some issues. I need assistance, maybe like, I don't need traffic control, but just the observer to help me assist with this. But Paul and Jackson and I can talk about this earlier, but I just want to make people aware that I have this tool available. So, but back to this tree and several other trees in this neighborhood, observation is the key. So I don't want to start cutting. These are major significant trees. They're attractive to that city block, and I don't want to cut them unless it's absolutely necessary.
Dan?
Yes.
So on the one that's leaning, do you ever like take some of the limbs on the side where it leans to give it, take some of that weight away, or is that?
Yeah, that's a possibility. And that alleviates some of the ice and snow load. And also if it does fail, it eliminates the potential damage. So that is an option.
So that's something you'll decide later.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Right now it's fine, but that's an option we can talk about.
Thank you.
Yes.
Last one on Cascade.
Yes. Well, here, which one is? There's another one by, and we talked about this for probably
the North Cedar tree.
Yes, that one. And if you drive by it, it is very leaning and noticeable. And there are rotten stumps. So it is very possible these rotten stumps could infiltrate or affect the soil quality and also affect the roots of this live tree. You know, the live tree will probably compete against the dead rotting other material. But this rotting root system could weaken the soil and could flip this tree over. So this is one, and I have pictures of this, and I need to review this to see if it's actually leaning more and more. It always has been leaning. And I do follow up on calls because the general public does notice this and calls it in. And of course, if it bothers the board, and if in your professional opinions of the board, we could seriously talk about this and maybe have it eliminated altogether. But advice over the years has been to keep an eye on it, but it won't last forever. You know, again, 10 or 15 years, but one big storm, it could could tip it over. I know your next question may be, if it tips over, what is close by as far as infrastructure or cars? There is a driveway. I don't think it'll hit a fence or any house or anything, but there is a driveway across the street that it could fall into.
I'd like to look at this one before.
Yeah, that's right back here. It's like a block away or a block and a half.
So on this one, are you talking about this one here?
Yes, that leaning.
Right.
You could see the old stumps on the picture to the right.
This one?
Yeah, so that's rotting away. And then as it, the wood deteriorates, well, that soil is punky. And there's no structure to that soil. So those stumps have been there over 10 years.
So as to what it falls across, I mean, it falls across a street.
Yeah,
I mean, if it is going to fall, that's across. A car could be driving by.
Yeah, a car could be in the street, and or it could reach the driveway of the residence across. Mm-hmm. But as far as smacking or hitting a bullseye in any other fence or infrastructure, no. But if a car or a person is in the proximity, yes, that's a possibility.
Okay. And you don't think it's dangerous enough that that could happen, you know, where some person gets injured?
In my professional opinion, no.
Okay.
It has to be very catastrophic event, you know, a very bad storm, very bad.
And then one last question on this one. Is that a double tree? A split tree?
No, the photo just has two.
They're just close together. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And then there's another tree, obviously dead. It says this tree, but if you look, well, the picture doesn't supply the foliage, but it's 100% orange and dead. I already put a yellow X on it for removal, but I recommend this be removal. You know, it's 100% dead. It's in the right of way. This is the one at 1001 East Cascade Avenue.
Dan, I have those photos that you provided.
Yeah, so I just took this. But you could see there's now, again, for the lay people, see that white, it looks like dried up glue. Yeah, that stuff. Thank you, Jackson. That's what we call pitch tubes. So the insect, usually, you know, the bark beetle tunnels into the tree, and the tree reacts and tries to pitch out the bug. And sometimes it looks like just, you know, a mess, a little drippy mess. And other times it looks like a piece of popcorn, and the tree tries to pump out that bug. So that's a sign to look for. And then on this tree, again, with this cloudy day, I couldn't quite get the needles. But in comparison to the other trees, look at how thin it is. It's orange, but even if you can't see the color, look how thin that is.
Yeah.
And it's dead. So there's no remedy. And oh, there's a multiple top. And if we let this sit a long time, those multiple limbs will fail and rain down on the sidewalk. But that won't happen. Usually the trees drop debris after a year or two, but this has been dead maybe a few months. But once again, in my professional opinion, it should be removed. I already put an X on it.
So it's in the process of being removed then?
No, I strongly recommend it be removed. And there's really no discussion because it's dead, you know. So,
sorry, did you?
Have you guys got to that tree?
No, not yet.
To remove it? No, no, we need board approval. Well,
okay.
Wanted to give you a heads up anyway.
Yeah.
I do have one question about that tree. I was just wondering if you have any idea when that sidewalk went in. The sidewalk that probably cut all the roots there
10 years ago, 8 years ago,
probably closer to,
I think it's 72,
15, early 2000s, mid 2000s, probably.
So it lasted quite a while with all that.
Yeah. I'm pleased with the sidewalk. I, with this one, I'm 90% sure it's the insects, the bark beetle.
Okay, so you need to move, right?
With it under other business, I don't
need
to have a motion.
I thought you wanted a motion to, no?
No, just wanted to give you guys a heads up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on situations like that, when there is a dead tree, potential harm for any citizens, there's kind of a loophole where you don't have to wait for the monthly meeting for us to vote on it.
Oh.
They're just allowed to take it, allowed to take it out if it's,
oh.
you know, if it's dead and dangerous.
Yeah.
It can hurt somebody.
Yeah. So it's got to be an obvious or dangerous. And I just kind of say yes. And yeah, in these cases that we're talking about, yes, they're obvious or dangerous. And that's what I call my professional opinion. So I believe that's all other business.
Does any other board members have any comments?
I do on a different topic, but
I do too.
Go ahead.
No.
Okay. From time to time, we've talked about heritage trees here, and Arbor Day is coming up Friday, April 26th. Mark your calendars if you haven't already. The city will be sponsoring probably at Creekside Park. It's not 100% for sure. Tree planting and a Arbor Day community event. To my knowledge, Sisters, however, does not have any identified heritage trees, although there's a procedure how to get them identified. So I put together just a sampling of a few that I'll pass around to you. And my thought is if we put our heads together, we could have a formal list by next meeting that if we all agreed to these trees, they could be submitted to the city council for approval. That's the procedure. We, Urban Forestry Board, come up with a tree or trees. We collectively agree, we send it to city council. Alternatively, any citizen and sisters can do the same. There is a specific criteria for ponderosa pines, at least 30 inches at diameter of breast height. For other trees, it's a case by case. So if it's a larch or a cottonwood, it's a case by case. So I'll pass this around. And if any of you would like to work on this, please let me know. Raise your hand.
Therese, what is the significance of identifying a tree as a heritage tree?
I think it's...
I have your printout here.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
It's to protect it.
Is it to protect it?
And to help the general public understand this is identified by the city as a heritage tree. So I, for example, when I was doing this, I realized, you know, I don't usually look up, you know, to really take in how big any certain tree is relative to other trees, nor how healthy it is. Because some of these trees, if they're not healthy, that's also a talking point to educate people on how trees get pruned, how they get insects.
What kind of trees they are.
Teresa, there are already some existing standards by which a tree can become a heritage tree in Sisters?
In Sisters, yes.
Okay, and are there trees on the current list?
None have been identified. I mean, there are plenty that would qualify. This is just a subset of many, many.
Oh, okay.
In choosing these, I was aiming to get some close in to downtown. And I'd like to add more that aren't ponderosas and also easy trees to walk to and avoiding trees that might put undue traffic in a place you wouldn't want traffic for whatever reason. Like there are some trees that are in the middle of the road, just maybe three or four trees are there and one of them is really big and pretty. And the road has been paved around them. Well, maybe we don't want to draw attention to those trees because we don't want people driving there and then stopping to to look at them, it would be not safe.
So for those interested, I have the criteria pulled up as far as ponderosa pines. Tree age should be approximately 200 years or more, and the size of the tree should be approximately 30 inches DBH or greater and or more than 85 feet tall. So it would have to meet the age criteria and one of the two size criteria.
Do these trees get some kind of signage on them or near them?
I don't know. I don't know if that's ever been predetermined. You can have a heritage tree either on city trees, city-owned trees, or privately owned trees. So like three that I saw in front of the belfry, I figure they're probably privately owned because they're on the lawn on the belfry side of the sidewalk. So the belfry owners would have to not only agree to, but want to do this. And I think maybe they have to sign an affidavit to that effect, because then forever after, their heritage tree will be noted as such with that property. Now that we have a municipal code in place that makes it where there are guidelines about what you can and cannot do with a large tree, it won't be that distinctive. You'll still have, you want to cut down a heritage tree, you're going to have to go to City Hall and talk about it. But it's just possibly something that some private property owners wouldn't want to do. So I don't know if you've been to Cottonwood Cafe. There's this huge cottonwood in the back. It must be privately owned, but that would be wonderful to have this on the list, but I don't know if they would agree to it.
I think if it's interesting, anybody, the Oregon Travel Information Council also has like a statewide grouping of heritage trees, and we can apply if we wanted to in the City of Sisters. You could nominate a tree to the Oregon Travel Information Council's list as well. I think sometimes they're a little bit selective. They're statewide groups, so not every tree might make their list, but they'll provide signage too. If your tree makes the list, they'll send you the signage to go with it and put it in their board, in their I guess record
database. Yeah, what's that organization?
Oregon Travel Information Council. So Brittany Oxford, I think you talked with at the state, she actually works on that board and helps with those nominations and stuff. They also have some pretty cool information about how and why they do their program, which might help inform other things.
It might also be a wonderful tourist attraction to have, once you have the heritage trees, to have a tree walks and describe the, you know, the history of the tree or whatever. Be nice.
Absolutely. In a perfect world, by Arbor Day this year, we would have at least a close-in walk or even a Creekside campground. There are several within Creekside campground where you could identify them with a map, geolocation, and either self-tour or have someone lead you around.
Yeah, I have a 100-foot ponderosa on my near my house.
Nice.
Well, I'd be glad to help you in trees if you want to check out some trees at some point.
Okay, thanks, Avery. That's all for me.
I'm just going back to thanks, trees. Mm-hmm. Going back to the Arbor Day that you mentioned, who typically spearheads that planning of that event?
There is a city employee named Emmy Shoup,
okay.
S-H-O-U-P, who is in charge of it from the city's point of view. And it is considered a city event as opposed to a citizen event or a nonprofit's event, blah, blah, blah. So I have been talking to her, actually, and someone else who used to be on the board, Rebecca, we've been talking to Emmy for several months about Arbor Day, but it's really the city's deal. Paul gets involved from the tree planting point of view and general planning also. And then it's linked in with being a tree city. You've probably heard the Sisters, it's a tree city.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question. Oh, were you done?
I just wanted to say I'd like to attend that.
Arbor Day?
Yes.
Good.
So right out here at the corner of this building is beautiful. A tree that's leaning. Is that one that we've looked at or concerned about?
Well, there's a lot of trees all over town that are leaning.
No,
so,
but
yes, they are a concern, so we keep tabs on it. There is a tree inventory for the entire right-of-way.
So you're familiar with this one out here that's leaning? Okay,
yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question about, maybe Paul can help with this. There's a strip of property that runs parallel with 126. It's open space. I believe it's owned by the Oregon State Parks. It's parallel with 126 from 20, you know, I'm talking about. It's within city limits, but it's not under the city jurisdiction. Is that true?
It's true.
Okay, because there's significantly large trees that are dead, and people do walk through there. I see kids play through there. And I was wondering if does the state ever come out? I'm sure I already know my answer, to look at things like that. Or is it just like the national forest? It's, there are dead trees and they don't get removed. But the fact that it's in city limits makes me concerned about liability.
Well, we're not the property owner. So the liability runs with the property owner.
Okay.
We can send them a note, an email, and let them know. And they can have somebody look at it, address it, or choose not to address it.
Yeah.
Depending on what their risks are. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that's something that should be done or not. I'm not suggesting that. I just wanted to understand better.
No, we can do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Does anybody have anything else?
I just had one last question. So when we look at this list of trees, I was just wondering how this list gets created and by what means how does a tree get on this list to be assessed? Is it mostly complaint driven or is this going on surveying?
There's a number of mechanisms, complaint driven, my own observations, Paul Jackson and the crew, and public input, phone calls. And then of course a storm and, these ones that are sometimes questionable, they're even more questionable, so they get more attention. So yeah, different, never the same thing twice, different scenarios, but basically that's it, mostly complaint driven or observations.
And also stuff that we bring up too, we can shoot over an email.
Okay.
Yeah. Take a look at a tree.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So if you notice something around town, send in an email to Jackson.
Yep. Okay. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Great.
For example, all the items on other business were ones brought to our attention from folks around the city after that big storm we had.
I don't have anything to add. Everybody?
I think I missed one thing. There's a stretch of pines that do lean on South Pine along the HOA. Anyway, though, majority, as much as over half of those trees lean, but they're all, I drive down that and inspect those. They're all healthy. They're all sound, but they do lean to the east into the lane of traffic, but nothing that would suggest removal or pruning or anything like that. So they're all sound. Now those, we do get calls, that particular stretch of road once in a while, but as always, something to keep an eye on, but though we can't cut leaning trees. I mean, they're all healthy.
Okay. I lean sometimes.
Leaning's okay. So a couple tips to look for if you're out walking, traveling around the city, especially with leaning trees, if it's heaving the soil, sometimes on a windy day, you can actually see the soil move. That's a very bad sign. And then the sharp splits, if you actually see the split in the wind just go like that and back again, that's really bad. And excessive debris, and really, you know, if you see a leaning tree and it's really leaning with the snow and ice, that's a, you know, more than usual, that these are just danger signs.
Don't want it falling into the toilet.
Yes.
That last one.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
That was a private tree, but.
Yeah, that was.
Well, if no one has anything else to add, meeting is adjourned at 2:40 or 3:45, and we'll see everybody on March 11th.
At 3 p.m.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.